last one in the series is rather a difficult one. Because I don't want you to take what I'm going to say out of balance. Because truth out of balance becomes heresy. But we do need to know the truth. The scripture tells us to be careful about what we bring into our homes. I've had the privilege of working with many wonderful homeschool families down through the years and at their conventions and so on across the United States. It's been a real blessing that people that really want to raise their kids on a different level, on a different standard, and more of a biblical education than more than the secular and so on. I want to read in Deuteronomy, this is what it says, but we're going to go to Corinthians, and because it's important, I want to absolutely share with you 1 Corinthians 10. I'm actually going to read the scripture because I think it's rather important that we look at some of the teaching of this area about our home and things like that. It says in Deuteronomy 6:14, never bring things in your home that will promote the philosophy of the God of this world, which is designed by Satan to destroy the children of God. Things that promote immorality, promote a me-centered philosophy that I'm the most important, etc., etc. I have to be very, very careful about what I allow to come in my home. And God takes this, and I'd like to share this with you, and I really want you to look at it yourself. It's from 1 Corinthians. I believe in chapter 8. I'm going to do chapter 10. Paul, who was writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of the people in Corinth were involved in worshiping false gods, he starts out by introducing a very difficult subject, and that is idols and all of that. And he basically said that the idols, you know, are made by man. They can't see, they can't hear, they can't talk. But there's a danger, a hidden danger, to bringing objects in your home that have been used in the worship of false gods. In verse 10:14, he writes, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Have nothing to do with that. Now, I'm going to look at 19 through 21. What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or things that are offered and sacrificed to the idol is anything? No. But he gives us something here that is rather very difficult. But I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice to idols, they sacrifice to demons. The demon associated with that idol, and not to God. I would not have you that you should have fellowship, and that's koinonia fellowship, the fellowship believers that have one another with the demons. We're not to have koinonia fellowship with the demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord in the cup of demons. You cannot be takers of the Lord's table and the table of demons. When I was new in this type of ministry, helping people that would call in and so on, we would get some very strange calls. Of course, here I'm on the phone. They're in another state, could be in another country. And they're saying, you know, all of a sudden, my child is having night terrors where they wake up every night screaming and their eyes are wide open. They're just looking. We don't know why. I mean, just out of the blue, this started happening. Or kids are afraid to go into a room. Or they have bad feelings in a room and so on. And one of the things that we ask them to do is to share, is there anything that you put into the bedroom that is new and that was not there before all of this stuff started happening? And often, yes, was this, that, and the other thing. And so if you sense, and I don't have that sensitivity of spirit that some have, but some people can walk in a room and just sense that something's not right here. There's something about this room. It's not the furniture. It's not the decorations necessarily, but there's something not right here. And you can pray and ask God to show you. If you are a believer, periodically, you should have a check through your home. Are there things in this home that is contrary to what we want to accomplish in the lives of our children? If you sense there's something that doesn't seem right, I'm not saying right away to destroy it, but you may want to take it and put it in the garage, in the corner of the garage, and say, Lord, you said that demonic spirits can be associated with objects. If there's any demonic spirits associated with this object, keep them in the garage. And I'm going to pray through that bedroom where the kids were getting a strange feeling and ask the Lord to cleanse it from all and anything that's not of him. Lord, just come through here and remove any spirits that may be here that are doing a number on our kids. And we command them now to leave and to go where Jesus Christ tells you to go. And if whatever strange things are happening, stop, then destroy that. You find that in Acts, I believe they burnt, or was it Corinthians, where they burnt all of that stuff that was connected with the spirit world. The best is to burn it, but if you can't burn it, destroy it. Don't just put it out where someone else could take it. They don't need that. We have testimonies in our files of people of what happened when they cleansed their home and the blessings and benefits that happened in their lives and the kids' lives and so on. So you need to look and to see, am I allowing, it doesn't have to be an idol, am I allowing objects or electronic stuff that is going to pull my kids down? And so much of that is going on today. We get young kids in here that have seen some of the most gross, evil immorality that they found on the computer in the bedroom. Or it popped up, so they clicked it to see what it was and searched with a certain name and got all kinds of evil stuff. So I'm telling you, don't be in fear. God is not the author of fear. But be wise. Be circumspect. You know, say, Lord, is there anything that we're allowing in our home or in our children's rooms that is going to have a negative effect upon them? I'd like to give you a personal testimony. My wife is very, very sensitive to where the kids are and what's going on in their life as they were growing up. And she said to me, have you noticed that our son's attitude has changed? She said, there's something not quite right. He's really changing in a negative way. And so she was praying. She told me that. I was pastoring a church at that time, and I thought, well, she's around him a lot more than I am. He was in junior high or middle school, or whatever they call it. And he was running. And so my wife said, why don't we give him, we were given a gift of a clock radio, which we didn't really need. But we thought, well, this way he can get himself up, because runners start running early in the morning. And so he had this clock radio in his room. And one day my wife was in there and was dusting it or something, and it turned on, and it was a rock station at a very low volume because we didn't allow that kind of music in our home. We didn't think it was conducive to godliness. And here he had taken this, which was to be a benefit to him, and as he began to listen to that music, his attitude began to go south, or, just began to disappear, and he started having bad attitudes and, looking in ways that we didn't feel good about at all, just looking at us when we said things and so on. So we met with Richard and said, Richard, we thought we could trust you with this. This is the radio. And, it wasn't all the electronic gadgets that are out there today. And we said, because you betrayed our trust, we're going to have to take this radio out of your room. And my son has always been a soul winner, really concerned about the lost and so on. And he asked our forgiveness, and he said he knew it was wrong and he shouldn't do it, but he did it anyway. And we just took it away from him. And as he asked God's forgiveness and our forgiveness, his attitude began to change. And he became a real joy in the teen years. In fact, when he was, 14 or 15, and we were pastoring a church at that time, I'd already taught in a couple of Bible colleges, and I said, Richard, I can't believe that God would give me a son as wonderful as you are. And he has proven that. Our daughters were all wonderful. But sometimes, I know a daughter sometimes can give you a lot of heartache, but a son sometimes can really go off the deep end. And I'm so thankful that God put his hand on him. And I'm so thankful that my wife sensed that this music, not just the music, the lyrics, both put together, are not conducive to godly character. So if your desire is to raise children with godly attitudes and having a godly sensitive spirit, I don't want you to be the FBI. But the Holy Spirit can guide you. If you see a change, what is it? What has happened that we're having an attitude problem in our home now that we never had before? If we can be of help in any way in that area, we would appreciate you texting us or calling us, and we'd be glad to talk to you, because you don't want the enemy to get your children. When I was one of the vice presidents of Child Evangelism Fellowship, and it's a wonderful mission, they presented the gospel face-to-face to over 12 million children just last year in 170-some countries, I believe it is. It's a lot. Anyway, Ellen George was president. I was one of the vice presidents. And we trained missionaries. And Ellen George would tell the missionaries this very important statement. He said, I want to warn you. If Satan cannot get you as a couple, he'll go after your kids. And as parents, we have to give an account to God for what we allowed our kids to experience in our home under our godly leadership. So, beloved, the most precious gift you have is children. And to do it in a right way, if you become like the police or FBI, the kids will just resent you terribly. So ask God for wisdom in your home. The world is outside, but God warns us so often, don't bring the abominable things, as he puts it, into your home. May the Lord bless you and give you wisdom. Thank you for watching.